Our guest this week is involved in so many diverse areas of interest that we could have devoted at least 5 separate installments of our program just to cover each of them. Regardless, we're going to squeeze them into this one edition, and you're in for a fascinating and meaningful listening experience. We'll be talking about the past, present, and future of popular music, including its relationship to the burgeoning gaming industry. We'll be discussing the motivational keys to achieving success in business and life. We're going to talk about race relations in America. And if that's not enough, we're going to hear about investments in and aspects of the burgeoning cannabis and hemp industry. Our guest is involved in a very creative angle of the cannabis and hemp business as the chief marketing officer of a publicly traded company called Bangi, which is Swahili for marijuana, and he'll be telling us about it. I do want to point out that our discussion of this topic does not indicate an endorsement of Bangi, paid or otherwise, as either a product or investment. Our guest has a very impressive marketing background, having worked for 25 years in corporate America at Xerox Medical Systems, where 3 out of 4 years he was the top sales executive. He also worked at Philips Medical in Codman, which is a division of Johnson & Johnson, and served as chief marketing officer for the multi-million dollar House of Darien, Darien and the Miss Tina's Women's Apparel when they were startups. Our guest is a prolific author. He's written the motivational business bestseller titled The DNA of Achievers, in addition to being an outspoken voice for racial justice in America. He's written Racism from the Eyes of a Child and The Emancipation of Slaves Through Music. He's a college professor and a widely sought public speaker. He's also a music industry mogul. The founder and CEO of Music World Entertainment, a company that has over 4,000 songs in its catalog, including gospel, R&B, rap, and kids' music genres. Some of these artists include Chaka Khan, The OJs, Kool & the Gang, Solange, and Trent Wilmon, just to name a handful. He was the creator and manager of the tremendously successful female music singing group Destiny's Child. Our guest is a graduate of Fisk University with an undergraduate degree in business and economics. He graduated with an MBA in strategic planning and organizational culture and a PhD in business administration from Cornerstone Christian Bible College. He's also the father of musical superstars Solange and Beyoncé. Our guest this week is Matthew Knowles. Welcome to the Michael Harrison Interview, the weekly podcast from Podcast One for media freaks, pop culture aficionados, political junkies, and the philosophically curious. Thank you for downloading this program from Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and the Podcast One app, and for following our Tuesday tweets announcing the names of our weekly guests. To sign up, it's at MH Interview. I can be reached directly via email at michael@talkers.com. If you find this show to be of interest and value, please subscribe to it as well as giving it a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll dive right into an uninterrupted conversation with Matthew Knowles, but first, a brief programming reminder from Podcast One. If you're looking for something on the cutting edge of audio entertainment, there's a new series called We're Alive, Gold Rush. It's an end-of-the-world comedy adventure to recover $1 billion in gold in the middle of the apocalypse. Crazy, right? Well, that's just the start. This 10-part epic features familiar voices such as Christy Carlson Romano from Kim Possible and guest star Danny Trejo from Practically Everything Awesome and our very own Caitlin Bristow and more. This oral spaghetti western takes listeners across the wastelands with high-speed chase scenes, battles against the infected, horrors, heroics, love triangles, and of course, gold. Listen to the audio drama that started it all and be transported into the theater of the mind with We're Alive, Gold Rush from Wayland Productions and Podcast One. The first episode's available now on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com. Okay, here we go. An uninterrupted conversation with Matthew Knowles. I don't know which one of your hats I should be talking to. You're a music mogul, a public speaker, an author, a professor, a real estate investor, an entrepreneur. You even recently got a doctorate, so you're Dr. Knowles. And on top of it all, you're the CEO of Music World Entertainment, and you're related to some of the biggest pop stars of our time, and you have contributed to the popular culture, history. Before I even ask you the question, how do you know when you get up in the morning who you are that day?
Well, that's a very interesting and good question. I often laugh and say, in an academia setting, I'm Dr. Knowles, Professor Knowles. I prefer my students call me in class. Mm-hmm. Then I'm Matthew Knowles, Mr. Knowles, and then I'm Beyonce and Solange's daddy.
That's right.
So it becomes difficult, right? But yeah. I have fun with it all and very blessed and humbled by it all.
And you maintain a tremendous amount of energy. You and I were both complaining to each other when we first got on the phone. We both put in a very long day, but here we are. We're still doing it. How do you keep up the energy? Is it enthusiasm about life? Are you totally into what you're doing? I imagine you are. You seem to be that type of person.
Well, my first book was a bestseller. It's called The DNA of Achievers, and they talk about 10 traits of highly successful professionals. Number one trait, Michael, is passion, because that's what excites me, that's what excites others, that makes us wake up in the morning with this enthusiasm and excitement. But more importantly, Michael, I believe when you live your passion, you never work a day in my life. I'm in a position in my life, if I don't do anything that I don't want to do. I just do things that I'm excited about and want to do.
That's great. Were you always passionate about life when you were a kid? Is this something that something in your life changed you, or have you always had this passion?
Always. You know, I was grew up in a little small town in Alabama, Gaston, Alabama, country boy. Grew up on a dirt road, and I tell this story. You know, my parents were poor. We lived on a dirt road with outside bathroom facilities up until I was like 14, 15 years old. My dad made $30 a week. My mom made $3 a day, being a colored maid. But they taught me entrepreneurship because my dad convinced the people he worked for to let him keep that truck, and he would tear down old houses, sell the aluminum, copper, metals. My mom would convince the white woman she worked for to give her all the clothing that she wanted to throw away. And on the weekend, they made quilts, her and her best friends. So they taught me entrepreneurship, and part of entrepreneurship is the excitement, is the passion. Part of success is passion. You find someone that's passionate, you'll also find they have work ethics, which is the number two trait. They coexist, passion and work ethics.
You mentioned the book, The DNA of Achievers. You've also written Racism from the Eyes of a Child and The Emancipation of Slaves Through Music. I want to get to that before we finish this conversation, but I do want to cover a few things that people might not know about you, and then we'll get into some of that other stuff. And one of the things that I found very interesting comes from the entrepreneur side of your many skills, and that is that you're involved in real estate as an investor, you're involved in business. And one of the hot topics that we talk about in News Talk Radio today is the legalization of cannabis. And it is an area that a lot of people know an awful lot about it, because it hasn't been a secret for certainly my entire lifetime and yours. But as a legal business and investment, there are all kinds of questions people have in cannabis. And if I'm correct, you have become an investor with a company called Bonji, and it acquires and leases real estate assets and is somehow involved in the cannabis industry that looms on the horizon as big bucks coming up. Could you explain a little bit about your involvement in this?
First of all, just to give a little context here, we're calling it the Green Rush, just like the Silicon Valley Rush. Cannabis and hemp is now a $16 billion industry, and we're projecting 5 years from now being a $65 to $70 billion industry. So that's the first thing everyone should know. Bunge, the company that I am invested in, but also equally important, I am head of marketing for Bunge. Bunge, by the way, is Swahili for cannabis and marijuana. That's where we got the name.
Okay, thanks for straightening me out on that, because I pronounced it Bonji. It's Bonji. Okay.
Well, when I first started, I was saying Banji because it's spelled B-A-N-G-I. So I can see the challenge there. But, you know, the challenge also in the cannabis industry is that cannabis remains a Schedule I controlled substance by the federal government. We have states that it's legal, but it's not legalized as all of America from our federal government. And what that implicates and the challenges there are you can't get loans from the bank. You can't put your money even in a bank if you operate, if you have a farm or if you have a dispensary. So we found a market niche, and what we do is we buy real estate, and we're a publicly traded company, and I put emphasis on that. We buy real estate, and then we lease that back to farmers and dispensaries. That's the difference. And the second point is that's real. There's tax incentives also that in 2018 that Congress brought into law. And so for certain farm areas and rural areas, there's tax incentives for us, Bungie, purchasing that property, and that's given also to the investors.
Hmm. Now, how do you know that a piece of real estate is going to be wanted by or useful to a company that would be a farmer or be growing it? Don't they already have land if they're farmers?
It's so many people, Michael, that want to get in the industry. They don't have the capital.
Hmm.
That's the biggest challenge. They don't have the capital. They don't have the capital to get the equipment. Even if they had the land, they don't have the capital to purchase the equipment. The Farm Act of 2017 did make hemp legalized in America. And those who don't know, hemp also is for medicinal purposes, as well as you can make shoes, all kind of stuff from hemp.
Now that cannabis and marijuana are coming into the realm of legality, and it's now in the business world, all of a sudden everybody is in the dark about how it all operates. I see a tremendous amount of confusion. So you must have had to do a lot of homework to be able to be involved.
I did, because I believe knowledge is power. You know, a lot of people just, and I understand why, but investors, especially seasoned investors, but we're now a penny stock. Just like Amazon was once a penny stock. It's affordable for anyone, and especially our people of color. We are always late to the game, and so here's an opportunity. And again, I talk about how also it qualifies for the Opportunity Zone Fund, which was part of the Tax Cuts and Job Act of 2017. I have to learn all this stuff, Michael. It's a lot that we never know that mm-hmm. my counterparts always know.
Well, I don't want to push you into answering questions you don't have the answers to, but obviously, in terms of the broad strokes, you're pretty confident that this is going to be a very successful business.
I wouldn't spend my time and energy and money in something because I am an investor unless I had done the research and looked at the marketplace and see the growth. However, because we are publicly traded, SEC control, I have to be careful in words that it's an investment, and I encourage people to go to BungieStock.com, my website, and read up on it and make a decision if they like to invest or not.
There are people out there who want to get in on the coming opportunities, and you know, they look to the stock market, but they don't know what to do. And so your company that you're involved in is one opportunity. Do you have any broad advice to people who are investors in general, who are looking at the stock market and wondering how to go about buying pot stocks or cannabis stocks or whatever they're calling it?
Well, again, I'm not aware of many stock options available mm-hmm. for cannabis. We're one of the very few for publicly traded stock. That's why I keep putting emphasis on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of investment opportunities in the cannabis industry, but it's not publicly traded stock, which has a whole amount of scrutiny when you start talking publicly traded. You're not investing in a scheme because it's been vetted tremendously. So that's the one assuring thing for someone who invests in a publicly traded stock. I know I wouldn't feel comfortable myself behind bars, so I would never do something that I didn't feel comfortable with.
Well, I have tremendous confidence in you based on, even though you and I really don't know each other, based on your work and your books and the things that you've done and the success you've had, I feel comfortable talking to you about this on these platforms.
Sure. I was excited about talking about it because when I get the opportunity, I've done 3 or 4 TV morning shows and et cetera, but you only get 4 to 5 minutes.
Right.
And I can't really go into detail. This is the first time, and I thank you, Michael, for allowing me to go in detail about cannabis industry, about Bunge stocks. So I thank you for that. Our ticker symbol is BNGI.
Is there any aspect to this that you would want to share and talk about other than just telling everybody they should go and support it that I have not asked you? I don't think I've ever asked that question maybe twice, 3 times in the last 10 years. But in this case, I feel it's appropriate, and you know, I'm not too proud. Am I missing anything here?
BungieStock.com.
Mm-hmm.
Look who's on our board. We have folks that were magna cum laude at Harvard, that names you will know. We have folks that have worked with the federal banking community worldwide and still on the board of the worldwide banking. We have a gentleman that just recently purchased Ebony. These are highly sophisticated people on our board, and I as well am a board member.
Now, this is not the only thing that you're involved in, and this is not the only thing that you're involved in that's on the cutting edge of popular culture. Now, your company, Music World Entertainment, the one that did Destiny's Child and the careers of your daughters and all kinds of great artists have worked with you as a manager and a record executive. I understand that you are now entering into the video gaming industry. And I can't think of any business in terms of media that's more on the leading edge of where technology, virtual reality, artistry, movies, games, they're all coming together in the video game industry. That's a burgeoning field as well.
Oh, absolutely. And quite frankly, the video gaming industry has always been having rapid growth over the last 10, 15 years. Having worked with Sony Music and the Sony conglomerate, I understand with Sony PlayStation and others, the growth in that. And so I invested in a company that's called One Earth Rising, and there's a game out right now that's called Riso Island that's on PlayStation, and we partnered with the company, One Earth Rising, for the music that's in the game. And you can actually stream and purchase the music in the game. Also, we will announce, and I can tell you now because my next call is to actually give them the good news. But there's a video game that we will either 2020 or 2021, we'll begin literally in the next 30 days, or a Destiny's Child video game that we're excited about as well.
And it'll obviously have the music. So you're involved from the music licensing area. Is it the same thing as making a deal with a movie company or a TV company to use music or a commercial? Is it basically the same type of situation?
It's a little different in that not only in the music. You know, Music World, we had a name change about 6 months ago. We're Music World Entertainment Corporation. When you get to a certain point, you have to change that in LLC to a corporation. And so, you know, that's where we are right now. We've invested heavily in gaming. Again, we see the growth. And the difference in what we're doing also is anything Destiny's Child, I'm allowed to use the name Destiny's Child because I created the name and owned the trademark.
And were very, very involved in taking it from a very strong potential act to meeting its potential and becoming one of the biggest acts in music history, which large in part, other than, of course, the talent of the young women who were involved. But you did a heck of a job with that. And you should.
Thank you.
You should have credit for that. Now, taking it even further, I understand that you're working on turning Destiny's Child into a musical. That's fascinating. So ABBA lives on as Mamma Mia, and the Four Seasons live on as Jersey Boys, and Carole King lives on as Beautiful. We're going to see a theatrical version of the Destiny's Child story, aren't we?
Yes, we are. In 2020, we can't leave out in that list Temptations and the Motown story, because I saw those both, and those were amazing musicals. But yes, we're working on a Destiny's Child musical, Survivor. We hope to have that ready for February, Black History Month of 2020. We're really excited. We're going through the process. The script is written. We're now clearing the music, letting the girl. And by the way, this musical is it's my story. It's my perspective of Destiny's Child. Just like the book, Destiny's Child, The Untold Story, that will accompany the musical is perspective over these 25-plus years.
Very interesting.
So we're excited about that. And Jacarius Johnson, you might know that name, is playwright, a very popular playwright today with most of our Black urban plays. So he's my partner on this, and we're extremely excited.
And is it going well? I mean, theater, even with the momentum you have and the wonderful story you have, theater and musicals are also a tricky business. Everything going smoothly? Are you optimistic about the chances of this happening and being successful?
Well, I am. Let me tell you why. We just... No, we have a partnership also with Columbia Records and Sony Music, and it was just the 20th anniversary of Destiny's Child's second album, The Writings on the Wall. So we're constantly marketing and repackaging and marketing Destiny's Child. We have tremendous research. And as I even told my partner, we can't look at this as a play. We can't look at this like The Temptations or others, because the ladies, all three of them, and certainly especially Beyonce, are so relevant. So we keep hearing all of them chatter in the market about how people are just wanting so terribly badly to see Destiny's Child reunion. And certainly this is not a reunion. I hope that happens in the future. But we have reason to believe that Destiny's Child fan base, and I have to keep reminding my partner, not your play fan base, but the Destiny's Child fan base.
Correct.
Is who we're targeting for this.
Smart, which will be good, because it'll bring new people to theater. It'll bring new people to Broadway or London or wherever it is that you have this this production mounted.
We're going to start in Houston, and like most, we would do a tour across the U.S. and then West End and London, and discussions about Broadway, and also Australia.
If there were to be a reunion tour of Destiny's Child itself, not this theatrical production, if you could speculate, would it have the main members, or would it be one member and people we've never heard of?
I can't even perceive or even imagine in my wildest imagination of Destiny's Child without the three ladies that we know today.
Okay, and that's that would certainly make it quite authentic and a major news event, as well as a major entertainment event. That would be very, very, very exciting. You wrote Racism from the Eyes of a Child, which is a very provocative title, and The Emancipation of Slaves Through Music. So obviously race relations and racial issues are a part of your thoughts, a part of your life. And you even mentioned that some of your investments are geared with African Americans in mind to give them a chance if they have been not in an economic situation to invest heavily, to get in on something early at a reasonable investment. So what are your thoughts about the race situation in America here in 2019?
Well, I thank you for asking me that, because I do want to talk about it. I touched on earlier my humble beginnings in Gaston, Alabama. What I didn't say is my mother grew up in Marion, Alabama. Who else grew up there? My mother went to high school with Coretta King. Abernathy's wife also grew up in Marion, Alabama. A really small little town of 5,000 people, but the per capita most educated city in America for blacks, per capita of the people. It's amazing. T.D. Jakes grew up in Gaston, in Marion, Alabama. A really remarkable town. I never went, Michael, to a black school in Gaston, Alabama. George Wallace was the governor. The heyday of segregation. I never went to a black school, elementary, Litchfield Gaston High, Litchfield Junior High, Gaston High. I was always one of the first. Even at University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, one of the first. It was up until my junior year of college when I transferred to Fisk University. I'd never gone to school with black folks. So if anybody can talk on racism and segregation, I can. And the effects and effects of it. Racism, to me, is the number one topic in America because it stimulates a lot of economic dialogue and conversation. People aren't really being truthful about the border. And why is that really such a mecca, topic today? Because it's also of the economic climate and how it affects that. It's not just we don't want brown people in America, but this we look all day. I never thought I'd see a black president. I never thought that today I would see commercials with a black man, a commercial for pillows or a mattress with a black man in a bed with a white woman on national TV commercial. I never thought I'd see that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are really sensitized by that. We keep forgetting we are a few generations from slavery. Mm-hmm. And so some people, great-grandfather, they heard the N-word and all kind of words. And their belief system, and it's here. I, in my book, have traveling while black. Just today, I got on an airplane, had my bag. I was in first class, and I tried to put my bag up, and the lady was like, there's not enough room. You got to let them check it. And I said, well, that's not true. I travel a lot. And I was asking her to move the bathroom because I don't like moving people's bags. And so I moved the bathroom. Easily my bag slipped in. It's just amazing that somebody could think with all the black young men and women who's been shot on camera by the police. How can somebody say racism doesn't exist when we see all of the mass murders by white young men? And then that's compared, and we see the racism to our Jewish community, to our Muslim community, to our LGBTQ community. How can anybody today say racism does not exist? I don't understand that.
Quite often, people seek victory as opposed to truth.
Michael, I just please want to say this. Yeah. Our victory has to be at the polls. That's where we have to be come this November for Senate and congressional and locals, mayors, and then a year from now for the presidential. We have to take the responsibility. We did not go out to vote.
Well, if you don't go to vote, voter turnout is the whole thing. It seems in America, almost any legitimate thought can be voted into office if you get the turnout. It's very hard to get the turnout. And certainly Trump knows how to play to his base, whereas a lot of others are fractured and don't get the kind of excitement and, you know, get people riled up that it takes to get something happening. Can you tell the difference? Can you tell the difference? This is a question I don't think I've ever asked anybody, but you seem to be very perceptive. A situation like what happened on the plane with the bag. Can you tell the difference if somebody is being rude to you because you're a black man, from maybe they're just rude to everybody and it's not because you're black? Can you sense the difference in that?
I absolutely can sense the difference. Almost every time, you can sense it checking into a hotel. You can sense it at a restaurant when they tell you, you know, we don't have any seats available. I've gone into restaurants with my wife. It was empty. And they were like, do you have a reservation? And I was like, it's empty. Why would I need a reservation? You can sense it. I sense it all day, every day.
Do you find when people find out that you are a very, very successful businessman and that you're the father of Beyonce and that you're a celebrity in your own right, that they change their attitude toward you?
Well, yes. My wife and I, we call it this. They got the memo. And once they get the memo, boy, you should see how it changes. But I don't wear Beyonce and my accomplishments on my sleeve. I don't do that. I never tell people who I am because that's just not me. I want to be accepted for the man Matthew Knowles is, not because of celebrity status or my kids or something or the financial wealth. And so most people don't know. And it's amazing to me.
And there you have it, an uninterrupted conversation with Matthew Knowles. If you'd like more information about Matthew Knowles, please go to his website, matthewknowles.com. It's spelled MatthewKnowles.com. Thank you for downloading this program from Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and the Podcast One app, and for following our Tuesday tweets announcing the names of our weekly guests. To sign up, it's at MHInterview. I can be reached directly via email at michael@talkers.com. If you find this show to be of interest and value, please subscribe to it as well as giving it a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Our producer is Matthew B. Harrison. The Michael Harrison Interview. Thank you for listening.
The Michael Harrison Interview is a presentation of Podcast One, produced in association with Talkers Magazine and Good Phone Communications. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved.